big old can. Good times, unwind, falling and out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera.
Welcome back to the Jeff Flores Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with me, 251-343-0106. I said Tuesday. I meant Wednesday morning. The dates all sort of go together at a certain point. Anyway, still to come on the program about an hour from now, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. And then in that 11 o'clock hour, Congressman Jerry Carls, please stay tuned for that. But joining us now on the line, on our way back from Mobile, Susan Dubo, state representative from Shelby County. Representative, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, thanks.
Enjoy talking to you.
Thanks for coming on. We were just talking during the break. You're a South Alabama grad, right?
That's right. I went to South Alabama, graduated in 1985. I hate to even say that. My husband's also a graduate from South Alabama. He grew up there in Mobile, and we were down there last night for the South Alabama Troy football game, which was a lot of fun. And now I'm headed up to Montgomery and then Chelsea, Alabama for a luncheon meeting.
That's a busy day ahead of you. We'll kick it off here, and I'm going to try to promote this. I've been asked to, but we'll talk about it next Monday night here in Fairhope, the Fairhope First Baptist Church. You got a town hall meeting. They've done these town hall meetings around the state in different places dealing with Title IX and the idea of transgender females, or what we would just call males, participating in women's sports, probably some other things. I think there's going to be a component of this that deals with migration or something of that sort. But tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this really is a great event. This will be our fourth one, I believe. I've been doing them statewide, partnering up with Moms for Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, and Attorney General Marshall. And it's been very informative for the communities, because what a lot of parents and even students may not realize is how close we were to changing the Title IX benefits for women in education. And as your listeners probably know, we've had Title IX in effect for over 50 years. It's been tremendously effective in helping women succeed in all parts of education, but especially in women's sports. And this change in rulings by the Biden administration, simply by the stroke of a pen and through the U.S. Department of Education, would have changed the definition of sex to include gender identity, which meant that if a male chose to identify as a female in any grade, K through higher ed, they could have the benefits of a female, go to a female bathroom, play on female sports, and it would have tremendous implication. It would just about wipe out female sports, and it would be against our state law. In the state of Alabama, we have passed laws. In fact, I carried the legislation to protect women in sports, to assure that you would play according to your actual biological sex. So we know in Alabama this absolutely doesn't make sense, and it's just preposterous that the federal government could try to force these rule changes on us.
Well, and I guess my question would be this, like, what's inspired you guys to do this? Because do you think it's just a lack of awareness? Like, what's the objective here?
Well, a couple of things. One, it is to inform. We want to make sure that our school systems are not implementing this change. And we don't have to, thanks to Attorney General Marshall, who has secured an injunction through the 11th Circuit Court. So for the time being, there is a temporary stay on the rule change. But we got to keep fighting this fight. It's not over yet. And people need to be aware that this could happen. And we know how powerful a grassroots effort can be. Also, there's some other legislation that we want to secure in our state to continue to protect women, and that's the bill I've been working on, and that's what I call the What is a Woman Bill, and that will define male and female by the biological definition, which we all know to be good and true, and put it into state code, because if you don't really properly define male and female, then it's hard to protect females. So somebody could say, well, hey, I'm a female by my definition. we need to be able to refer to our code and say, oh, no, 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 not in the state of Alabama. So, yes, there's just, it's awareness, and it's just to continue to keep the conversation going, because this fight is not over.
Well, and I guess it's, you know, we you and I have talked about this before. Do you worry you, the state would do something to imperil the, you know, just athletics in general in Alabama? For example, you know, the state imposes a set of rules. Does the Department of Education and NCAA, which, you know, is oversees all college athletics, do you think it triggers a reaction from any of those entities?
It has not. It hasn't anywhere as of yet. When we passed that legislation 2 years ago, several other states had passed it in advance of us, and there had been no repercussions from the NCAA at all. So we haven't seen that NCAA pushback at the college level. And, you know, some states have implemented that goal. Some states have not implemented it. And we can't control what other states do. But here in Alabama, we have that law in effect. The only power the federal government has over us by these rule changes is pretty big, and it's the power of the purse. So they could say, look, we're not going to send your federal funding, University of Alabama or University of South Alabama, if you don't comply with these Title IX rule changes, and we want to allow males to play according to their gender identity. So they could hold that, federal government could hold that over us. And we don't want that to happen. We think that that's preposterous. We want Title IX to be in effect the way it was passed 50 years ago by Congress. We don't believe that a rule change should come into effect by some unelected bureaucracy.
And they have broad discretion there. You know, it we think of Congress having the power to purse strings, but the administration, whoever that may be in the future, Biden or Trump, does, or I mean, not Biden, but Harris or Trump, would be able to say, right, well, we're gonna cut your school lunch budget or something like that from the Department of Education,
yeah.
Right?
That's right. And look, I'm all for saying, hey, let's call their bluff. Are you really not going to send lunch money to fourth graders because we're not letting boys go to the bathroom with girls? I'd call their bluff any day. But, of course, if we can get a friendly administration in, if we can get the Trump administration in, all of these worries will become very, very small. And we can, you know, that's going to be the answer to a whole lot of our problems, from, you know, these gender identity issues to immigration, if we can get Trump administration into the White House, because a lot of our problems start at the federal level, not within our state.
Joined by State Representative Susan Dubose here on the program. Now, you got a state level, which would be you. You got Congressman Moore at the federal level. You got General Marshall at the state level as well. What, you know, I think so much of what the state of Alabama has to do here, it's got to be done through the courts. They gotta force the federal courts to say, this is the line where the state has the authority, and this other side of the line is where the federal government has to say. That seems to be kind of what we're grappling with right now.
That's you're exactly right. And we've been successful with the 11th Circuit Court, and we think we will continue to be. And thank goodness we have Attorney General Marshall, who just does a fabulous job. And you know what? He wakes up every morning and he sues the federal government. And I love it. He's brave and he's relentless, and he's got good folks working for him. And we're very lucky in the state of Alabama to have him. And heck, we're just lucky to live in the state of Alabama, put it that way. You guys down there in Baldwin County are lucky. I'm lucky up in Shelby County.
Yeah, and just having the right politics and the right mindset. You know, you've gotten a lot of pushback, though, and I think you have the overwhelming support. There's no question about that in my mind that you do. But the problem is there's just some voices. We have a media here that doesn't really reflect the politics of the state. I am convinced, and that's been it, right? That you're You're just a rabble rouser with a solution looking for a problem, and none of this is really something we need to be dabbling with. We need to be focused on Medicaid expansion or whatever the hell it is that they want.
Look, first of all, in Alabama, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, so we are dealing with a lot of issues. But we've also done polling in our state, and I know exactly where the people of Alabama stand on both sides of the aisle. They know the difference between a man and a woman. People think that this, you know, this allowing males into female private spaces, they think it's ludicrous. Men have no business in a woman's locker room. Men have no business in a female dorm. We know that. And we know both 90%, probably more than that, of our state. But we've taken polls, and we know where our people stand. So there's, you know, there's loud people on the other side. They're in the minority. But, you know, I will agree, everybody, regardless of how they identify, needs to be treated with respect and with love and with dignity. And we're not trying to change anybody's rights, anybody's constitutional rights. This is not what this is about. This is about protecting children, protecting female spaces. And that's very different from trying to interfere with anybody's way they live, work, play in the state of Alabama.
Now, on the federal front, congressional front, I mean, just simple as saying we need a law saying that we're not going to engage in these practices, or is it maybe you can't do that, but maybe it is providing some kind of protection to states to pursue these policies to not be threatened with DOE funding or any other agency that the Democratic administration would pursue.
Yes. I mean, having proper definitions in our law, I'm looking at legislation that would specifically protect women's spaces in jails, for example, where just because a male identifies as a female, that doesn't give him the right to be housed with the female inmates. So, yeah, protecting females in dorms. We're looking at specific, what we call safe spaces legislation. And just, you know, there's not many of these places, but there's a few of them, and they matter. So think about a rape crisis center. Women need to be protected there. You know, a juvenile detention center. Women should be housed separately. Biological women should be housed separately. Women's dorms. Think about Tutwiler Dorm at the University of Alabama. That should be limited to biological women. So there are, you know, a handful of spaces that are really critical that we do need to protect for safety and honestly privacy reasons. There's a state law. There's laws that other states have passed, and we can do that as well.
Well, like we saw this during the Olympics, Riley Gaines has been very at the forefront of this. The former University of Kentucky swimmer, representative of the, you know, mixing these biological males that had chosen to be females in women's athletics, it is not only like an unfair advantage on the playing field or court or wherever, but it's a safety concern. And then this is where you can't, especially some of these sports where there's contact and there's a, you know, female sports where there's that, you just can't. This is I perceive it to be like a public safety threat.
It's absolutely a safety threat. And Riley Gaines is just one of my heroes. I've met her a few times, and the organization she represents is Independent Women's Forum. And I work with them on these issues, but it is, remember the boxer who said she'd never been hit that hard in her life during the Olympics. And it's common sense. How much stronger are men and their cardiovascular strength? And we see a lot of men identifying as female and entering track meets. And I mean, it's crossed over to over 30 sports now. And there's a website called shewins.org that you can go to, and it lists all the different females that have lost titles and when competing against a transgender man and all the different sports. There's thousands of them. It's not a problem. You know, it's not a solution in search of a problem. Is that what they say? This is not the case. This is reality, and it's getting to be more and more of a problem.
Such a strange hill to die on, but I guess those are the high profile examples. But at the high school level, it's unfair. Obviously, the athletic prowess in a lot of sports, just men are superior. And, you know, I think that's where people are concerned about it, where it really does have, like, more broad wholesale implications is at the lower levels, right?
Well, think about it. Scholarship opportunities for women. There's a lot of athletes in other states that are competing at the high school level in track. And it's stopping these women from being on the team, in some cases, from winning on the team, from getting college scholarships. And, you know, just the ability to win a medal, you know, that should be their opportunity. So it's displacing women in sports teams, high school level, college level. I spoke to one of Leah Thomas's teammates. She swam on the team with Leah Thomas, and it may have been at Pennsylvania. And she was a member of the team, but many times got displaced from even competing in the race because he would take her spot. She may have been like the eighth or ninth on the team, but because she was that next slot that would have moved up, many times she didn't even get to compete in the race. And she had to change in his dressing room, in a dressing room with him, 18 times a week during the year that they were on the same team together. It was traumatic for her. It was, you know, emotionally traumatic.
We got to wrap it up here real quick. One more time, folks want to know about the event. Give them the rundown.
Yeah, y'all please come. It's doors are going to be open for a meet and greet at 5:30 this Monday at Fairhope First Baptist Church. I believe the date is the 21st. It's going to be a great lineup. Your local representatives will be there. I know Representative Fiddler is going to be there. Representative Matt Simpson, Representative Alan Baker. Then, of course, Congressman Barry Moore, Attorney General Marshall, and it's going to be moderated by a just outstanding attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom. His name's Matt Sharp. He is one of the best in the nation for defending religious rights and freedom of speech. So it's going to be an interesting, informative community event. We'll talk about Title IX issues first, and then they're going to take it over and talk about some of the undocumented or the immigration issues that are going on throughout our state that a lot of people in all of our communities have questions about.
Representative Wells, appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Talk to y'all soon.
Thank Bye-bye. You. State Representative Susan DuBose there. Across South the Alabama alum, divide. By the way. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.